Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Vachem Daf Mem Vav. We are holding on Daf Mem Hey Amud Beis, about 8 lines from the end of the page. Ashkechan Tuma. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La'ashalom, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank him very much for continuing to sponsor the Daf Yomi Shir. So the first thing we're going to discuss is we're going to show what the possible source is that Nosar applies even to parts of a carbon that don't have a matir, whereas Pigel only applies to parts of a carbon that have a matir. As the Mishnah said, we already learned yesterday how we know that Tuma applies even to parts that don't have a matir, and now we're going to talk about how we know that Nosar applies to even parts of a carbon that do not have a matir. We're going to have two suggestions of how we know that. Then on the top of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to bring the sources that Dam is not subject to Mi'ila, nor to Nosar, or Tuma, or Pigel, that all of these dinim relating to carbonos do not apply to the Dam of the carbon. And that's pretty much Amud Aleph. And then at the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about why it is that the Torah needs to tell us three different times that a person is chayiv kares for eating a korban shlamim betuma. Why does the Torah, what do I learn from the fact that it says it three times? And ultimately the Gemara is going to say, it comes to teach me that only kachay mizbeach are subject to this chayiv kares, not kachay betek habayis, but it also includes even things that are not normally eaten, davreshein darko lechal, or may come to include chataos hapnimios. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas amoraim, whether the machlokas tanaim about chiyuv kares for eating kachim that's not darko lechal even applies when it's the person that's tamei and not the kachim that's tamei. Meaning we have a machlokas tanaim about a chiyuv kares for eating dvarim she'ein darkom lechal. So we want to know what is that machlokas tanaim about? Is it about eating dvarim shein darkom lechol while you are tamei, or while those things are tamei? And that discussion brings us to the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah on Amud Beis tells us l'shem shisha dvarim azevach nizbach, that a person is supposed to have six different kavanos when he shechts and does the other avodos of the karbanos. So it's going to list the six different machshavos. The Gemara is going to give what each of those machshavos mean. What does it mean that you do it l'shem this as opposed to what? And then the Gemara is going to talk about whether a chatas is invalid when it's shechted l'shem chulin. We know that a korban chatas has to be shechted l'shma, so that means you can't shechted l'shem ola. But what if you just shechted l'shem chulin? Is that also going to be a psul by a korban chatas? So that's the last discussion on the daf. So let's begin again. We are holding about 8 lines from the end of the page on daf mem hey amud beis. So ashkechan tuma. We already found that the din is by achilas kachim betuma, that it applies even to parts of a carbon that don't have a matir. But nosar minalan, how do I know that the isra of achilas nosar is also applies to parts of a carbon that don't have a matir? So says Gemara, well, once you know it about tuma, you know it about nosar, because asi chilul chilul mituma. We have a gezeira shava that links nosar to tuma, and therefore if it's true about tuma, it's true about nosar. So says Gemara, yeah, but how do I know to employ that gezeira shava? V'leilef avon avon mipigel. There's also gezeira shava that links nosar to pigel, and pigel only applies to things that have a matir. So maybe I should learn avon avon from pigel and not learn the gezeira shava that links nosar to tuma. So says Gemara, mistavra mituma v'leilef. No, it's more mistavra to link nosar to tuma shekein gezel simin, because it has three things in common. Nosar and tuma have three things in common: Gimel, Zayin, and Lamed. Guf, Zrika, and Chilul. What do those mean? Guf means that Nosar and Tumah are things that apply to the actual Kodesh or the actual Tumah, as opposed to Pigel is something that's only Machshava. So it's not something that's in the actual world, it's in the world of Machshava. Zrika means that by Nosar and Tumah, it's not the Zrikas Hadam that causes the Psul. Something becomes Nosar just when you leave it over. Tumah is whenever it becomes Tameh, but Pigel is only Chal at the moment moment of Zrika Saddam. And Chilul means that by Nosra and Tumah, the word Chilul is used. As opposed to by Pigul, we don't have the word Chilul used. So therefore, I'm going to choose the Gzera Shava that links Nosar and Tumah, and therefore will teach me that Nosar does not Nosar applies even to parts of a carbon that do not have a matir. Says Mara Adraba, mi pigalav leil melef. If you're looking at what Nosar has more in common with, it actually has more in common with pigal than it does with Tumah. So if you want to know what should I link Nosar to, should I latch Nosar up? Should I link Nosar up to Tumah, or should I link Nosar up with pigal? I would think it's with pigal. Shekein hutar tzitz tahar bizman karav. There's no neat new treatment for that, like we had with the Tumah one. It was gezel, you know, it was three, so it makes a nice letter. Over here it would be hatzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzit what they are. So what are these five things that we have in common? That they have in common, that Nosar and Pigel have in common, that Hutar means that Nosar and Pigel don't have a Yotze Min HaKlal. There's no exception to the rule. Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, so Tumah has an exception to the problem of Tumah. Tzitz, that by Nosar and Pigel, the Tzitz doesn't help you at all. Tzitz helps when there's Tumah. It's Meratzeh, helps the Karban be Meratzeh when there's Tumah. Tahor tells us that the Parsha of Pigel and Nosar is by Tahorim. Tumah, it's obviously not by Tahorim, because by definition, it's Tumah. And Bizman tells us that Nosar and Pigel are both related to time, as opposed to Tumah has nothing to do with time, meaning Nosar is related to actually leaving a carbon pass its time. Pigel is having a machshava of chutz l'zmano. Tumah's got nothing to do with Zman. And Karav means that by Nosar and Pigel, the psul is on the thing that you're makriv itself, as opposed to Tumah, that the psul is in the makriv, not in the hukrav, right? Not in whatever you call it, not in the davar ha-karav, not in the thing that you are being, that you are being makriv. It's in the person and the hani nefishon. So you see that if you're trying to figure out what is Nosar more similar to, is it more similar to Tumah or is it more similar to Pigel? Way more commonalities that it has with Pigel, and therefore we're back to our kasha. We're back to our question. How do I know that Nosar applies even to things that don't have a matir? I would think it should be just like Pigel and it should only apply to things that have a matir. So it says more a second try. Elami Ditani Levi, from what Levi taught in the Brisa, Ditani Levi, that Levi taught in Brisa, Minayin Shaf Bipsul's Mana Kosum Bedaber, that when the Torah talks about the Isra of Achilles Kachim Betumah, how do I know that it's also talking about the Isra of Nosar as well? That even though the Pasuk sounds like it's talking about Tumah, that pasuk is about Nosar as well. Tamalomar v'lo yichalu shem kachi asher hei mekachim li ani Hashem b'shnei chilul l'nakasim medaber, that it says v'lo yichalilu. So you see that it's talking about two problematic elements, two potential issues. Echad psul Nosar v'echad psul Tumah. One is about a psul Nosar, there where there's a lashon of chilul, and one about a psul Tumah, that someone who eats betumas haguf, which is what the pasuk is ostensibly about. So therefore, the Torah says Asher hei makdishim li. So we darshan kol hamukdashim, even though those that don't have a matir are included in both of these, are subject to both of these issues, to both Tumah and to Nosar. So it's not a gzera shava that links Tumah and Nosar, it's the pasuk itself. The pasuk itself that talks about Asher hei makdishim li, that there are problems that apply to all of to all kachim, even things that don't have a matir, specifically highlights or at least alludes to both the problems of Tumah and the problem of Nosar. Period. That's the end of that. So says Gemara, Chutz min Adam. We had said in the Mishnah that you're not chayev al achilas dam mishum Nosar or mishum Tumah. The dam is not subject to the issues of Nosar and Tumah. So minan imili. How do I know that's true? So first the Gemara is going to say, well, first I'm going to demonstrate to you that dam is not subject to meila, meaning this whole amud is the things that dam is not subject to. So there's no isra meila on dam. There's no isra of Nosar on dam. There's no isra of Tumah on dam. And there's no isra of Pigel on dam. So says Gemara, Amar ula Amar kra. The pasuk says, when it talks about the dam of karbanos, va'ani nasativ lachem, so we darshin shalachem yehei, that it should be that the dam of a karban should be like a dam of any chulin animal, where you don't have a din of meila, you don't have this. It's not subject to the isra'na of meila. So debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, a different drasha that Amar Kra, the pasuk says lechaper lechaper nasativ v'lo lemeila, that that which the dam kachim is unique and special is that it has the capacity for kapara, but it is not unique and special in any dinim of me'ila, meaning it does not, it's not distinguished, dam kachim is not different than any other dam in the world, except for the fact that it can achieve kapara. So just like dam chulin is not subject to me'ila, dam kachim is not subject to me'ila either. A third possible limud, that dam is not subject to me'ila, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Who lifnei kapara kila achar kapara, teaches me that the dam before and after kapara are the same. That before kapara it has the same status as after kapara. And ma achar kapara ein bo mi'ila, just like after kapara it's obvious that there is no mi'ila, af lifnei kapara ein bo mi'ila, so too, the dam even before the kapara is finished is not subject to mi'ila. Three limudim of how I know that a dam is not subject to mi'ila. Says Gemara, wait, on that last one, all who taught us is that there's an equation between the dam before kapara and the dam after kapara, but it doesn't tell us which one is the driver and which one is going along for the ride, right? Meaning the Gemara assumed that lifnei kapara is kila achra kapara, so just like the achra kapara, it's understood that there's no mi'ila, lifnei kapara, also there's no mi'ila. Says, well, I could have said the other way around. Eimel achra kapara kila lifnei kapara. Maybe lifnei kapara is driving this, that just like most things, lifnei kapara are subject to mi'ila, so maybe dam is unique, that la achra kapara, it's also subject to mi'ila. Ma lifnei kapara yesh bo mi'ila, af li achra kapara yesh bo mi'ila. How do you know that to go in this direction, that it's not subject to Mi'ila? And after all, the Ritva points out in Maseches Yoma, it's better to learn this way, because the klal is that whenever you can make a hekish, l'chumra or l'kula, so l'chumra makshinan, not l'kula. So you can either tell me that l'fnei kapara is kalacha kapara and there's no Mi'ila, or you could say kalacha kapara is l'fnei kapara and there is Mi'ila. L'chumra would be that there is Mi'ila. So that would be the natural way to learn the Hekish, says the Ritva. So there's even a reason, it's not just stam, why not say this way? There's a better reason to go in the other direction. So it says, no, because there is never anything where all the mitzvahs are already done with it and it's still subject to Mi'ila. Meaning the rule by Kachem is, they're subject to Mi'ila until you're done with them. But once you finish all the mitzvahs that need to be done with them, then there is no Mi'ila anymore. That's the klal when it comes to Mi'ila. Says the Ritva, is this a braisa? Is this a mishnah? Is this a pasuk? Meaning, where does it say that? Meaning, the Gemara just says, oh, we never find, there's no such thing. So the Ritva quotes from a Tosfos, how do I know that klal, that they nuchadav shenachas mitzvaso, that there's no Mi'ila? So the Ritva says, I know you want to tell me, you're going to want to say that it's because the fact that Chumas Tadeshin and Egla Arufa, which the Gemara is about to say, are subject to Mi'ila, even though they're Nasas Mitzvaso. So we see that it's Dafka only those two things that are Nasas Mitzvaso. The Ritva says that can't be the source, because when the Gemara asks this question, it does not yet know the answer. It does not yet know about Trumas Hadeshen and Big Dekuna being Sheikh Suma Ban Kechad. So it sounds like this Klal is Muvan Me'elav, that this Klal is already known without such detail. So the Ritva quotes from Rashi that the reason is because since Nasas Mitzvaso, it's no longer Kachay Hashem, meaning in order to be subject to Mi'ila, something needs to be Kachay Hashem. Once it's Nasas Mitzvaso, it loses that status of Kachay Hashem. And the Ritva writes, Nachonhu, that is a very correct answer. And then the Ritva quotes from the Ri, that the Makar is from Chataos HaMesos, that the in the Medrash and Taurus Kohen, and Mitarshans from the Pasuk, V'nasan Oso, to exclude Chataos Mesos from Mi'ila. So from there we learn that anything that's in a Roi Mitzvaso is not subject to Mi'ila. Now Chataos HaMesos is very different than Nasas Mitzvaso. Chataos HaMesos means we couldn't get it to the finish line. That, it was a Chatas whose Bailim died. So now what am I going to do with it? So the Bailim doesn't need a Kapara anymore. He's dead. So it's a chatos, the chatos left to die. But the point is, there's no longer a mitzvah that needs to be done with it. So if something that there's no longer a mitzvah that needs to be done with it, it is not subject to Me'ilah. So something that had all of the mitzvahs it needed already done with it is also not subject to Me'ilah. But bottom line is, the Gemara says, that is a rule, that you never have something that's Nasas Mitzvaso that still is subject to Me'ilah. So frankly, Gemara, velo? Do you really not? Varei Trumas Hadeshen, what about when they take the ashes off of the Mizbeach and they put it next to the ramp of the Mizbeach where it's Asr Bahana'a, even though it's Nasas Mitzvaso? The Pasuk says, V'samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. So Rashi points out, V'samo sounds like you need to leave the ashes there until it becomes Nivla Bekarka. So apparently it's Asr Bahana'a. You're not allowed to do anything with it. So it's already Nasas Mitzvaso. You already did the Trumas Hadeshen. And apparently it's still Asr Bahana'a. It's still subject to Me'ilah. So why don't we say that by Dam, you could say the same thing, that there's an Isra of Me'ilah by Dam, even though it's Nasas Mitzvaso? It says, well, no, because Trumas Hadeshen is not the rule, it's an exception. Because Trumas Hadeshen and Bigdei Kuna are two different places where the Torah tells me that even when you're done with them, they're subject to Me'ilah. And the rule is that if you have something that appears in one place in the Torah, then we apply a Mematzinu, a Binyanav, that I learned from there to the rest of Kala Torah Kula. It's the basis for everything. But whenever something appears in two places in the Torah, those are the exceptions. They're the exceptions that prove the rule. That yes, it's true that Trumas Hadeshen, after the mitzvah is already done, it's subject to Mila. Yes, it's true that the Big Day Lavan that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom HaKippurim, after the mitzvah is already done with it, it's not subject to Me'ilah. Those are the only cases where you have something that the mitzvah is done and they're still subject to Me'ilah. Everything else would not be subject to Me'ilah after the mitzvah is done. So it's only by Trumas Hadeshen and Bigdei Kuna where even though the mitzvah is already done, it's still subject to Me'ilah. But everywhere else, it's not, including by Dam. So says Gemara, Hanichal Rabbanan to Amri Avinichem Shamalami Chetunun Kaniza. This works great if you hold that Big Day Kuna are actually still Asr Bahana'a and subject to Mila after the Kohen Gadol is done with them. So then I understand, Shneiks of Aban Kech, there are two places in the Torah where you finish the mitzvah with something, and nevertheless, it's still Asr Bahana'a. Ella, Rabbi Dosa, Domer Mutar, saying the Kohen Hedyot. But according to Rabbi Dosa, that those Big Day Lavan that the Kohen Gadol wore, Lefnai V'Lefnim, on Yom HaKippurim, may be worn by a Kohen Hedyot. I don't know if they would auction them off or who gets to wear them, right? But they could be worn by a Kohen Hedyot. You're just, the Kohen Gadol's not allowed to use them on a subsequent Yom HaKippurim. So apparently they're not Asr Bahana'a. So Ma'ika LeMeimar. So you don't find Me'ilah by something that's Nasas Mitzvaso anywhere except for Trumas Hadeshen. Once you only find it in one place, now I should be able to be Malame to everywhere. Now I should assume that Trumas Hadeshen is not the exception, that Trumas Hadeshen is the rule, and therefore by everything that's Nasas Mitzvaso, it should be subject to Me'ilah. So we should say that Dam is also subject to Me'ilah, even after Nasas Mitzvaso, even after the mitzvah is already done with the Dam. So as the Gemara, even according to Rabbi Dosa, you don't learn from Trumas Hadeshen that to the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula that there's a Din Me'ilah by the Dam after the mitzvah is already done. Mishum Davi Trumas Hadeshen Ve'egla Arufa Shneik Suv Naban Kechad, because there is another place in the Torah where we're told that even after the mitzvah is done, it's yes subject to Me'ilah, and therefore that too is an exception, and they are the exception that prove the rule. When you have two exceptions, when you have two places where the Torah teaches me a din, they are the exception. So yes, Trumas Hadeshen, and yes, Egla Arufa, when you finish with them, they are subject to Me'ilah. That tells me that everywhere else in Torah, once you finish doing the mitzvos, they're not subject to Me'ilah. So says Gemara, Hanich Leman Yemarein Melamdin. That works great if you're going to tell me that whenever you have it's Ein Melamdin, that they are the exception and they are not the rule. But there is an opinion that holds that when the Torah tells me an exception, when the Torah tells me a rule in two places, that it could still be learnt as a Binyanav Mematzinu to Kol HaTorah Kula, that it's not the exception. So if you only have two places, Trumas Tadashen and Egla Rufa, where after the mitzvah is done, it's still subject to Mila. Maybe that's the rule, according to the opinion that Malamdin, that should be the rule to call it Torah Kula, and Mimela should be true by Dam as well. That when Dam, when it's not a mitzvah, so maybe is yes subject to Mila. And therefore, we should say that Dam Lifnei Kapara is like Dam Liachar Kapara. That just like, or Dam Liachar Kapara rather is like Dam Lifnei Kapara. That just like Dam Lifnei Kapara, naturally you'd assume it would be subject to Mila, that Dam Liachar Kapara also is going to be subject to Mila. So it says, no, Tre Mi'uti Ksivi. There are two Mi'utim that it says in the Torah. Hacha Ksiv Ha Arufa, Vahasam Ksiv Visamo. That it's true in general that maybe there is an opinion that Sheikh Sumla Ban Kechad is melamdin, that you can be lomein from Shnei Ksuvim. And it's true that maybe there are only two psukim that teach us that after you're nasas mitzvah, so it's still subject to Mila. But each of those psukim that teach it us have something about it that tells me that it's exclusive to the place where it's taught, that it's not meant to be taught to other places. By Egla Rufa, it says, it doesn't say Arufa, it says Ha Arufa, to tell me, no, only here, nowhere else will you say that when something is already Nasas Mitzvah, so that it's still subject to Mila. By Truma Sedashen, it says Visamo, not Visam, Visamo. Dafka this, Dafka Truma Sedashen, once it's Nasas Mitzvah, so it's still subject to Mila, but other things would not be subject to Mila. So once we explain that we exclude Dam Karban from Mi'ila, so the Gemara says, why do I need all of these drashos? Meaning the pasuk says, ki nefesh habasar badam hu vanina satav l'cham al mizbeach l'chaper al nefesh seim ki adam hu banefesh yichaper. So there are three different drashos to exclude the carbon from Mi'ila, right? The dam of the carbon from Mi'ila. We had l'chem, l'chaper, and v'hu. Meaning this goes back to the beginning of the discussion. We said, minani mili, how do I know that dam is excluded from a whole bunch of different things, from Mi'ila and Nosar and Tame and Pigal. So we gave three answers to how I know it's excluded from the Yisra of Mi'ila. We had Lachem, Shalachem Yehei. We had that was Ula. We had the Tanna of Rabbi Shmuel that Lachaper, Lachaper Nasat of Alol Mi'ila. And then we had Rabbi Yochanan that who Lifnei Kaparo Kiliachar Kaparo. Why do I need three different drashas to tell me all the same thing, to tell me that there's no Mi'ila on the Dam? So says Gemara, Lumu'ute Mi Mi'ila. You're right. It's not all three to teach me about Mi'ila. It's to tell me that it's excluded from three different halachos. That the dam of the korban not only is not subject to Mi'ila at any point, not lefnei kapara, not la'achra kapara, but it's also not subject to the iser of nosar, and it's not subject to the iser of tumah. Aval pigul lo tzarachra. The fact that dam is not subject to pigul, I don't need a pasuk for that. Ditnan, because we already had a mishnah. Kol sheish lo matirin bein ladam bein lemizbeach chayvin lo mishum pigul dam gufei matirhu. That the only things that are subject to pigul are things that have a matir. But dam doesn't have a matir. It is a matir. That when you do the zrikas adam, it's matir the whole carbon. It's matir the emurim lemizbeach. It's matir the basal la'achila. Right. That's what's matir the whole carbon. So therefore, it's obvious that dam is not subject to pigle. So that's the end of the first discussion of today's daf. Right? If you have to summarize Amud Aleph is about dam. It's about how I know that dam doesn't have any of the normal rules and psulim of karbanos. It's not subject to Mi'ila, it's not subject to pigle, it's not subject to Noser, it's not subject to Tame. Right? So that's that. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan points out that we find three different psukim that teach us that a person is chayiv kares for eating basar shlamim, for eating meat of a carbon shlamim bituma. So shlosha krisos b'shlamim lama. Why does that Torah have to tell me three different times that you're chayiv kares for eating basar shlamim bituma? Says Gemara, achas l'klal v'achas l'prat. So first of all, very interesting limud, that the first two times, before we get to the third time, the first two times you have to note that the There's a klal in the Torah called Dovr Shoy Bechlal, V'yotzah Min HaKlal, Lo Lamid Al Atzmo Yotzah, Lo Lamid Al Klal Kulu Yotzah, which means to tell me that if one place the Torah tells me that you chayiv kares for eating kachim betuma, and it doesn't identify shlomim specifically, it's about all of kachim. Shlomim happens to belong in the category of all of kachim, but it's a klal, it's about all of kachim. And then the Torah goes out of its way to tell me a prat, to tell me somewhere else that you're chayiv kares for eating shlomim bituma. So that's telling me something, that since it's being motzi it min haklal, it's coming to teach me that we're makish the klal to the prat. That just like the second pasuk is only about shlomim, so what is a unique characteristic of shlomim that we could say the first pasuk is only about those types of kachim that share that unique characteristic with shlomim? Well, shlomim is kachim is beach, so it must be that when the first pasuk told me about all of kachim, that yichayev kari is for eating kachim betumah, it must be only those kachim that are kachim mizbeach and not kachim bedek habayis, that it's limited in that way. But if you eat kachim bedek habayis when you are tamei, you are not going to be chayev kares. Tosso says, well, wait a second, why don't we just say klal prat in bechalal masha beprat? Meaning normally when you have a klal followed by a prat, we say klal prat in bechalal masha beprat. So when do I say kal dover versus klal prat in b'chal el mashav prat? So it tells us very simple. Klal prat in b'chal el mashav prat is two psukim that are right next to each other, or two words that are right near each other in a pasuk. So when the Torah says, if the Torah were to say one pasuk, don't eat kachim betuma because you can't eat karban shlamim betuma, so that would be klal prat because it's saying in one breath. Over here, these are two psukim that are nowhere near each other, right? You have a pasuk in Parachav Beis, pasuk Gimel of Sefer Vayikra, where it says, "Kol isha sheyikrav mikol zarachem ela kodshim v'tumaso alav v'nichrusa." And then 17 psukim later, right? Not 17 psukim later. 15 prakim earlier, you have v'anefesh shetochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher l'Hashem v'tumaso alav v'nichrusa. Talks about only carbon shlamim. So that's not klal prat and prat klal. That's in a totally different context, and therefore we say kol davar shei b'klal, the yatzam naklal lamed al atzmi yatzal lamed al klal klul yatzah. So that's why I need two of those psukim viachas. And the third time the Torah tells me that yichayev kares for eating shlamim betuma is l'dvarim shein nechalim, is to teach me about kachim mizbeach that are not royal achila. Those kachim mizbeach that are not royal achila, like the eitzim, the lavona, the ketores, right, the parts that go on the mizbeach that you don't eat, that even that you're chayiv kares if you eat that bituma. So it says Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbi Shimon, that you're actually not chayiv kares for eating the parts that are not edible bituma. So then what's that third pasuk for? To tell me that the isra of achila bituma, the chayiv kares for achila's kachim bituma, applies even to the chatos apnimios. Why would I think not? Rabbi Shimon, kol she'eno al mizbeach achitzon kishlam mein chayav lov mishum pigol mishum tuma nami lo l'chayiv. I might have thought that since chatos apnimios are not subject to pigol, so they shouldn't be chayiv, they shouldn't be subject to tuma either. So kamash malan, that's why I need an extra pasuk to tell me that the chatos apnimios are also subject to the isra of achila betuma. So again, it says three times in the Torah, three different psukim, that shlamim are eaten betuma, you're chayiv kares. The first two are to tell me that whenever we have kachim that are eaten betuma, you're chayiv kares, applies only to kachim mizbeach. So it's the interaction between the first two psukim that tell me that, and the third one is either to tell me that you're chayiv kares even for eating etzim levona and ketores, or it's telling me that yichayev kares even for eating the chatos apnimios bituma. Okay, so now the Mishnah said, Nomi Rabbi Shimon mechayev es shedar kol echel, that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakama, and he holds that you're not chayev achila bituma for things that are not ra'i l'achila. I mean, we just mentioned Rabbi Shimon, so we're bringing him up again, right? The same Rabbi Shimon that we just said, that dvarm she'ein ne'echolin, ein chayev n'leim mishum tuma, right? That things that are not normally eaten, the etzim, the lavona, the ketores, you're not chayiv for eating them betuma. So the Rabbi Shimon is in disagreement with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama holds you are chayiv for eating those things betuma. So when exactly, what does that mean, eating betuma? What's tamei? The person's tamei or those things are tamei? So in general, both of those things are aser when it comes to achilas kachim. You're not allowed to eat kachim when you are tamei, and you're not allowed to eat kachim when you are tahar, and the kachim is tamei. So itmar Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is machlokas amoraim. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is one grouping. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina are another grouping. Chad mehai zuza v'chad mehai zuza. Rabbi Yaakov points out zuza means zuga, that means a pair. So one from each pair teamed up with the other, you know, with one from the other pair. Chad amar machlokas bitumas basar. That the whole machlokas in our Mishnah, whether you're chayiv for eating kachim bituma, is only if the kachim is tamei. Meaning about kachim sheina chalim bituma is only when the kachim is tamei. Avul bitumas aguf, but when you are tamei, divrei chalein aloka, you for sure don't get malchus for eating eitzim, levona, ketores, that are tamei, inedible kachim mizbeach that are tamei, you for sure don't get malchus. That there's no machlokas. The whole machlokas is when it is tamei. V'chad amar, but the other opinion says, k'machlokas b'zu, kach machlokas b'zu. No, the machlokas, whether you're chayiv for eating inedible kachim mizbeach b'tumah, applies whether it's you that's tamei or the kachim that's tamei. So my taima, why are the chacham chayiv even for achila b'tumah saguf when things aren't ra'ila achila? Meaning, why is it that the chacham are mechayiv you for eating eitzim, levona, ketores while you are tamei? Because given to Karina Bay, since we could darshan about that which is not roi la'achila, the pasuk that it says that teaches the Yisra of Achilas Basar Kodesh Tamei, Va'basar Asher Yiga B'chol Tamei, so Karinin Bay, so therefore, by something that's not roi la'achila, we will also apply Vitumaso Olav, the Yisra of eating Kachim while you are Tamei. Meaning, since the Chacham hold that the Yisra of Achilas Basar Kodesh Tamei includes things that are not roi la'achila, so that must be their Shita about Tumah problems, that Tumah problems Tuma Yisurim apply even to things that are not Roi L'Achila. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's the Kachim that's Tamei or whether it's you that's Tamei. It's still subject to the same Yisurim. So all the same items are subject to those Yisurim. Rav Tavyumi Masniachi. Rav Tavyumi taught the conversation as follows. Taught as we just said. Rav Kahana Masniachi, but Rav Kahana taught the conversation a little differently. That Chad Mehai Zuza v'Chad Mehai Zuza, same pairing of Amoraim, where you take one from each grouping, a Seifa, but it's that which it's going on that which Rabbi Shimon says in the Seifa of the Mishnah. Chad Amar, one of them says, Machlokas Bitumas Aguf, that which Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Chacham and holds that there's no Malkus on the Tumah v'Achilas Dvarim that are not Roi L'Achila, that's only when the person is Tamei and the Basar is Tahar, because the Gabi Malkus, we find a special Riboy for things that are not Roi L'Achila. Aval B'tumas Basar, but when it comes to Tumas Basar Kodesh, Divrei HaKol, Loka, everyone would agree that someone who eats that Basar is going to get Malkus, even on things that are not Roi L'Achila, because the Gabi the Yisra of Achilas Kodesh is a special Riboy that to tell me that even things that are not Roi L'Achila are included. The Chadamar and the other set of Amoraim holds kimachlokas bezu kach machlokas bezu, that just like Rabbi Shimon holds he disagrees with the Chum about the Isser of a tamei to eating kodesh, and he holds that you're not chayiv malchus for inedible things. He also disagrees about eating kodesh that is tamei for inedible things. So Amorava mistaver command yom kimachlokas bezu kach machlokas bezu. It's most mistaver that the machlokas applies both when you are tamei and when the kachim is Tamei. My taima, why is that most mistaver? Kivan to lo karina bay, because since according to Rabbi Shimon, we don't darshan about something that is inedible, the pasuk of the of a tamei person eating kodesh, v'tumaso alav v'nichrasa, that is chayiv karis. So lo karina bay, so when something is not roi l'achila, we also won't apply the pasuk prior to that, that asur's eating basar tamei. V'abasar asher yigam b'kol tamei lo yeyachel. And therefore it's mistaver that according to Rabbi Shimon, things that are not roi l'achila are just not included in this parsha. They're not included in the iser of achilas kodesh b'tumah. So whether it's whichever tumah it is, whether it's your tumah or the kodesh's tumah, I v'amar v'abasa l'rabba seitzim l'vona. But wait, didn't we learn that v'habasa that it says by the iser of achilas kodesh tumah includes even inedible things? So how can you say that Rabbi Shimon holds that no, inedible things are totally excluded from the parsha of tumah? So no, l'psula b'alma. That's just telling me that eitzim and levona that become tamei are in fact pasul, but not that you chayv malchus if you eat them. So things that are mekabel. The fact that these things are mekabel tuma, okay, so they become pasul. So v'habasa comes to tell me that the eitzim and levona are included in the iser. The Rishonim point out that the fact that they're even mekabel tuma is really only a din midrabanan. So you have to say when we say the psul bialma that it's really only an asmachta. But either way, it's not a real din, and that's why you're not chayiv malchus if you read it b'tumah, because it's not really tameh. It's only tameh on a drabanan level. Okay, new Mishnah now. So this Mishnah tells us we already discussed a little bit about lishma by karbanos, but now we're going to learn six different kavanos a person is supposed to have when they bring a karban. L'shem shisha dvarim azevach nizbach. There are six things that a karban is kavanos that a person is supposed to have when they bring a carbon. It's interesting, in the Chassidish Svarim, this Mishnah has big skulas to it. Apparently, you're supposed to say this Mishnah right before you die. They quote from the Arizal that a person is supposed to say this Mishnah right before major things in his life. So, right before death and right before other things, right before tefillah, perhaps. So, different traditions. In the Darkei Chaim V'Shalom, he says that between Mincha and Mariv, the Munkach Rebbe would wait till Tzeis HaKochavim, till Laila Mamish to Davin Mariv, like is ideal in halacha. And what would he do in the meantime? He would say the Mishnayos of Rashi Tevus of Osios Neshama from the seventh parak of Maseches Mikvaos, and he would say this Mishnah of the Shem Shishu Dvar Mezevach Nizbach. And in his Sefer Divrei Torah, he says that he saw in the Sefer that it's Mesugal to learn this Mishnah every single day, and it helps to save one from Machshava Zoros Pitfila, right? Meaning, if it's talking about all the right things you're supposed to think of a Karban, so you understand why someone would draw that connection, that when it comes to tefillah, that will. But also they quote from the Arizal, it's skula to say it before tefillah, before going to sleep, before dying. That it should be the last mission one learns. So anyway, l'shem shisha dvarim azevach nizbach. So now we're doing it before tefillah. So that should be our next item on our agenda. Should be tefillah. So l'shem shisha dvarim azevach nizbach. There are six things that six kavanos that you have when you shech to karban. L'shem zevach, you have in mind that it's for that carbon, not for some other carbon. L'shem zoveh, you have in mind the bailum of the carbon. L'shem Hashem, that you're bringing it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'shem Ishim, you have in mind that it's going to be brought on the fire on the Mizbeach. And L'shem Reach, that it should produce an aroma on the Mizbeach. And L'shem Nichoach, and that aroma should be pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chatos V'Asham, L'shem Chet. And by Chatos and Asham, where it's brought to address a particular Aveira, you have to have in mind that it's for that Aveira. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Av Mishloi, believe the Shemech and Mikalelu, Kosher, Shu Tanai Bezdin. Even if you don't actually have any of these kavanos specifically in mind, you're just bringing its time. You're just going with the flow. It's a Tanai Bezdin. It's understood that it's l'shem these things. Shein Machshava Holechas Ala Achara Oved. The Machshava Sabaylim doesn't really matter. It's the Oved whose Machshava really matters. Meaning the Bezdin was misakin to shech to carbon stam, and not to say that you're doing it l'shmo, because you might make a mistake and think that it's a different carbon, and you say you're shechting it l'shem, something else, not what it really is. You'll get confused. So the Kohen Makrav they're going to think is passeling the zevach, even though the Bailim had a machshava l'shmo. So machshava is only achara oved, and the Bailim's machshava doesn't really matter. So I'm Rabbi Domarav. Rabbi Domarav says, what do each of these things teach me? So what do you mean that l'shem zevach? So it means ola l'shem ola. When you bring in a carbon ola, have in mind that it's an ola. Lafukei l'shem shlamim delo. It means don't have in mind a different carbon. When you're bringing an ola, don't think it's a shlamim. It's an ola. So ishe teaches me l'shem ishim. What do you mean l'shem ishim as opposed to what? Lafukei kevava delo. So tell me not to have in mind that you're only going to roast it uh, and 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 eat it roasted on the mizbech. No, you have to have in mind that it's going to be consumed entirely by the fire on the mizbech. Reach means l'shem reach. What is that? As opposed to what? Lafuke varm shaslan vehel and delo. That you shouldn't roast it prior to bringing it on the mizbech, so it produces its good reach somewhere else on your barbecue, and then you put it on the mizbech when it's ready to get burnt, when it's not producing a nice reach anymore, when it's only producing a very smelly reach. If it's previously roasted and then you bring it on the mizbech, that is not a reach. Nichoach, what does that mean? L'shem anochas ruach. That it should be pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And LaHashem, L'Shem Yishamar Vayolam. LaHashem means the one and only God. That's who you should have in mind. Samar Avidam Rav, Chatos Sheshach L'Shem Ola Psula, L'Shem Chulam Ksheira. Even though Karban Chatos has to be Shechted L'Shem Chatos L'Shma, and if you Shechted L'Shem a different carbon, it's possible, but if you Shechted L'Shem Chulin, it's kosher. Amar Rav Lazar, my time at the Rav. Where does he get that from? L'Yechalus Kachim in Yisrael, Kachim Mechalim Kachim, Vein Chulin Mechalim Kachim. Only Kachim could be Mechal Kachim, Chulin cannot be Mechal Kachim. So Machsheves Chulin is not going to be Mechal of the Kachim. So Masav Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Av Mishloi Beliba L'Shem Echon Mikol Eilu Kasher, Shu Tanai Basin, Taima Shalo Haya Beliba Klal, Ha Haya Beliba L'Shem Chulin, Pasul. Rabbi Yossi says, if you don't have anything in mind, it's still Kasher. But it sounds like if you have something in mind, even if it's Chulin, then it will be Pasul. So how can you say that if you have in mind Chulin, that it's going to be Kasher? Am Le'abaye Dilma, Lo Haya Klal, Kasher Umaratza, Ha Haya Beliba L'Shem Chulin, Kasher Ve. Maybe either way is kosher. If you just have stam kavana, it's kosher, and it achieves what it's meant to achieve, it's even meratza. If you have in mind l'shem chulin, it's a kosher carbon, it's just not meratza, it's not ola l'baylim, l'shem chova. Okay, b'l'shem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi El-Azhar. Have a great day.